Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazrat Wahab bin Munabbah rahmatullahi says that there was a king who intended to visit and inspect the condition of the land of his kingdom. He ordered the royal dress which was brought for him, but he disliked it. A second one was brought which he did not like either. In short, after many refusals, he wore a very fine dress. He then ordered a conveyance. An excellent horse was presented, which he disliked. The horse was returned. A second and third horse was ordered, all of which he disliked. Then all the horses were brought forward. Among them he chose the finest horse and mounted it. At this time, Shaitan the accursed blew even more pride into him. He mounted the horse with a lot of pride and haughtiness. A train of servants and soldiers walked with him. But out of pride and haughtiness, he did not even look at them. And wrote, suddenly, a very distressed person, clad in old rags, met him. This person greeted the king. But the king paid no attention towards him. The distressed person caught the reins of the horse, whereupon the king reprimanded him. Leave the reins. How dare you catch hold of my horse's reins? The person then said, but I have some work with you. The king replied, if that is the case, then have patience. When I dismount, you can mention the work to me. The person insisted, no, I have to mention it now. Saying this, he forcefully grabbed the reins. The king said, mention what you have to. He replied, no, it is a secret, I will say it into your ear. The king lowered his ear. He said, I am Malakul Maut. I have come to take your life. Hearing this, the king's face turned pale and his tongue began to stutter. The king said, give me some time to go home to arrange my goods and to meet my family. The angel of death replied, there is no respite. Now you will never see your house nor your wealth. After saying this, the angel of death pulled out his soul and he fell down from his horse like a dry piece of wood. From this incident we learn that maut is something that is predetermined, the time is fixed. As I said before, like clockwork precision, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When the appointed hour comes, it cannot be deferred, it cannot be brought forward. It comes at its precise time. So we all have to prepare for that moment. Tonight, alhamdulillah, we also have about to take place a Hifz-e-Qur'an Khatam. A child will be completing his Hifz-e-Qur'an, inshallah. The son of Qari Ahmed Pandor Sahib and his ustads, Qari Abdul Aziz Patel Sahib and Maulana Zaid Gangat. So inshallah he will be completing the Qur'an. And it is a very appropriate night to complete the Qur'an. Because first of all, Ramzan is a special bond and attachment with the Qur'an. After all, the Qur'an was revealed in the month of Ramadan. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And also there is a strong likelihood that perhaps tonight is Laylatul Qadr. The night also seemed very serene, very tranquil, very peaceful. So perhaps the Qur'an was revealed in this very night, Laylatul Qadr. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. So the Qur'an having been revealed in the month of Ramadan on Laylatul Qadr, this young boy completing his hifz tonight on this particular night, a very appropriate occasion. So may Allah Ta'ala accept from him and also from his asatida and put in our hearts also the value of the Qur'an. This month of Ramadan does not only have an attachment with the Qur'an. In fact, there is a narration in Musnad Ahmad on the authority of Wasila bin Asqa radiallahu ta'ala that practically all the heavenly books were revealed in the month of Ramadan. So in that narration it is mentioned that the Suhuf Ibrahim, scriptures that were sent down to Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were sent to him on the first night of Ramadan. The same narration mentions that the Torah was received by Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam on the 6th of Ramadan. The Zabur was received by Dawud alayhi salam on the 12th of Ramadan. The Injil, according to one narration, received by Isa alayhi salam on the 13th of Ramadan, according to another narration on the 18th of Ramadan. So similarly, the Quran too was revealed in the month of Ramadan, and that too on Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. Today, unfortunately, we do not appreciate this great book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, that this ummah, we, the ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have been blessed with. This is a book to live up to the day of Qiyamah. Such a book in which there will be no additions, no subtractions, no commissions, no change in any word, any letter, any diacritical mark. Allah has taken it upon Himself to safeguard the Quran from distortion, from changes. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Allah Ta'ala says that we have revealed this Quran, which is a book of advice, and we shall be its protectors. So the Quran cannot be tampered with. It will remain original, intact, until the day of Qiyamah, unlike the other books which have been tampered with the various so-called religious scholars of those religions, and they are no longer in the original form, whether it be the Injil or the Torah or whatever. This is that book, the Quran Kareem, for which your Nabi, my Nabi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, endured many difficulties just to receive the revelation. Because as a recipient of the revelation, this was no ordinary task for Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the revelation of the Quran is a very, very weighty event and task. The Quran tells us, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ. That if we were to reveal this Quran onto a mountain, you would see the mountain humble itself and it would break up into smithereens. Even a mountain would not take the weight of the Quran, of the Wahi. Yet Nabi Karim saw bore this weight for his ummah, for the benefit of his ummah. That is why we read in the hadith that when the wahi would come, any verse of the Quran would be revealed, Nabi Karim Sa'ad would begin to perspire. Beads of perspiration would come down his cheeks and he would go lower his head and he would be in quite a bit of discomfort and pain just to receive the wahi. To understand how heavy the wahi was, once a sahabi as Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Nabi Karim sallallahu was resting his head on my lap and suddenly wahi began to come down. He says, I felt the weight of that wahi and that revelation to such an extent that yakadu an tarudda fakhidhi. It felt like my knee, my thigh would break apart. Such was the weight of the wahi. We read in one hadith that sometimes when Nabi sallallahu was mounted on his camel, then wahi would come down, and the weight of the wahi would be such that the camel used to buckle under the weight of the wahi. So we have to appreciate that how much difficulty Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through in order to let this Quran reach us. Our pious predecessors showed true appreciation for this Quran. Hazrat Ikrima radiallahu ta'ala, when he would sit with the Quran in front of him to recite, he used to become so overwhelmed in the presence of the Quran that he used to fall down unconscious. Then he would regain consciousness and try and begin to recite again. Again he would fall down unconscious. Finally, when he would regain his composure and now be able to recite, he would repeat over and over again, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi. This is the word of my Rabb. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the word of any mortal. So this is the amount of respect they paid to the Quran, which unfortunately is lacking in us today. We do not show respect to the Quran Kareem. Our pious predecessors, even for any book of deen, Islamic literature, they used to be so thoughtful and so cautious not to show disrespect. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi, on one occasion, when he changed his clothing on the day of Jummah, the clothing that he took off his body was not really very dirty also, but it is sunnah to wear clean, fresh clothing on the day of Jummah. He said to his assistant, hang the clothing up, there was a nail or a hook on the wall, but near the wall there was a little desk like this on the floor, where the Thanvi Rahmatullahi sometimes used to put his religious Islamic kitabs, books on the desk. So he cautioned that assistant, the khadim, that before you hang it up, because this is dirty clothing, so to say, which is going to go to the laundry, make sure that there is no kitab on the desk before you hang the clothing up. Because I cannot tolerate the clothing to be higher than a book of deen. So if he had so much respect for an ordinary book of deen, we can well imagine how much respect they accorded to the kalam of Allah, to the Qur'an Pak, to the Qur'an Kareem. We talked yesterday about Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib, Rahmatullahi, the last Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Shabali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullahi, who just passed away barely a few years ago. He was an ardent lover of the Qur'an. He could not tolerate anyone reciting the Qur'an wrongly. He was very particular about the tajweed of the Qur'an too. When he came to this country also, if he read salah behind an imam, we found that the imam was perhaps not reciting correctly, out of sincerity, out of good faith, after the salah, he would tell someone, call the imam sahab, and he would take the imam into a corner and explain to him that, listen, this word you pronounce incorrectly. This letter you did not recite from the correct origin, from the correct makhraj. The tajweed is a bit lacking. And then Hazrat would advise him that try and improve on your tajweed. In fact, Hazrat was so particular in Taraweeh Salah, where today the norm is that people want to run to a masjid where the Taraweeh completes in the quickest of times, where the most rapid Taraweeh takes place, people tend to run there. Whereas the Qur'an is not recited correctly with tajweed. Hazrat was so particular. When we completed Hifz in Hardoi, then the Huffaz were required. Hardoi was a town. There were many small masajid. He would send the Huffaz in Ramadan to different masajid to perform the Taraweeh, to recite the Qur'an in Taraweeh Salah. And there was no this method of dividing the Taraweeh 4 rakats, 8 rakats, 12 rakats. Each hafiz had to read the entire 20 rakats all alone. So I was also sent to a particular masjid, and we who completed hifz there, we knew in the month of Ramadan, Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi, because the masajid in the town, Isha used to start a bit later. In the madrasa, it used to take place a bit earlier. So after completion of his Taraweeh, Hazrat used to then visit the different masajid, pop into any masjid impromptu, without any warning, and the hafiz had to be ready to make sure he's reciting correctly. So Hazrat would not even tolerate that in the recitation, the hafiz leaves out even a mud of the Qur'an, leave aside reading the word incorrectly. So he happened to come to the masjid where I was reading on the last night when the khatam was going to take place, 30th para. And when he comes in normally, he clears his voice, immediately the hafiz knows Hazrat is behind. Already you trembling, perspiring. So when I read Suratul Infitar, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, I didn't pull the mud long enough, and I heard the booming voice from behind, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. I had to correct myself. So he would not even tolerate the muds being left out. Such was his love for the Qur'an al-Kareem. When he came to Azadwal, I still recall in the 80s, alhamdulillah, I was fortunate, I was Hazrat's host, he stayed at my place. He spent about 3 days here. So he used to come to the Jami Masjid, and the Muazzin in the 80s, wherever he was, was not giving the adhan in a way that was appropriate, that was correct, according to Mama Abraham al-Haq Sahib rahmatullahi. So he had so much fikr and concern, he used to even correct the adhan of the muazzins. So this local muazzin of this particular masjid, don't worry, it wasn't Abdul Rahman, it was someone else in those days. So anyhow, he called the muazzin in one corner and set him in front of him. And actually taught him sentence by sentence, word by word, how to give the Quran, how to give the adhan. That adhan should not be given in a sort of a singing manner. And then where there is no mud, normally the muazzin create a mud, where you're not supposed to pull, they pull unnecessarily. So Hazrat taught him the adhan. And alhamdulillah, with Hazrat's tawajjuh and attention, when the next day when Hazrat heard his adhan, he gave the adhan as he was taught by Hazrat. So Hazrat rewarded him. After the adhan, he called him and gave him 5 or 10 rands. He was very happy. Thereafter, while Hazrat stayed here, every adhan he gave correctly, he kept collecting 5 rand, 5 rand. But after Hazrat left the town, unfortunately, he was back to square one. Either influence of the local people, whatever, he went back onto his old style of adhan. So this was the love Hazrat had for the Quran, that the Quran must be read correctly, adhan must be given correctly. Like I mentioned yesterday, when he was Khalifa, Hazrat Maulana Shah Muhammad Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi, while we were there, he used to also come to Hardoi and spend a few days in the khidmat of his Shaykh. So while he used to say that, Hazrat Maulana used to tell him that in the morning we don't have a majlis, so in the morning you are free, take the Nurani Qaeda, take your Quran, go sit in a classroom to recharge your battery, to make sure your tajweed is still up to scratch. So as I mentioned, this was the humility of Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, that he used to sit in a classroom by the same ustad where we used to read the sabak, and he used to read the sabak out, Nurani Qaeda, the Quran, in order to correct, in order to maintain his tajweed. So Hazrat Maulana Abraham al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi, whoever used to come there, he would require them also to utilize the time fruitfully, try and correct the Quran. Once an uncle came from South Africa, and he spent 2 or 3 days there, because we were South Africans there, so he felt comfortable with us. And Hazrat Maulana Abraham al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi, these two gentlemen, Hazrat also put them in the class, and while we are learning your tajweed, but correct your Quran. But as I mentioned, Hazrat Maulana Abraham al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi, with all his affection and love, he was such a disciplinarian that we actually used to shiver in his presence. So once when we were sitting in the majlis, then Hazrat, whatever he had to say, tendering advices, he then asked, "Ke wo do Afriki sahab kahan hai? Where are those two gentlemen from South Africa?" So obviously they were not used to speaking Urdu, but they became so petrified and so much ghabrat. One of them stood up, instead of saying Urdu, "Hazrat, hum hazir hai," he said, "Hazrat, amuch hai." In other words, Gujarati, he said, that we are present. So fearful he had become. So this was Hazrat Maulana Abraham al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi, his ardent love and passion for the Quran. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, because as I mentioned, we knew him from the days of Hardoi, his first trip to South Africa, when he came to Azadwal, and no one knew him, I put him up at my place also. So our relationship went back many years. The ulama of Azadwal, I think, did not even come and meet him on that day, because he was not a renowned figure until that point of time. When he became more renowned, more famous, then frequent visits to South Africa. On one occasion here in Azadwal, Hazrat Hakim Sahib was at the home of a certain brother here, and I also went to meet him. So people wanted to introduce me, that this is so-and-so of the Darul Uloom. When he saw me, he says, "Oh, ye to amara purana dost. This is my old friend." So he called me, made me sit nearby. And then he said to me, did you hear that story about the elephant?" So I said to Hazrat Hakim Sahib, "No, I didn't hear. What is the story?" So he mentioned, people sitting there also, he said there was this man that owned an elephant, and he should take it from town to town. He issued a challenge that if anyone can make my elephant cry, then you will get such and such a reward. So he took it from town to town. Imagine elephant, what are you going to say or do in front of the elephant to make the elephant cry? So the elephant was taken to a certain town, and people started taking up the challenge to try and make the elephant cry. They had to come up and whisper something into the large ear of the elephant. So one person came up, and people began to say their sad stories. One person said, my mother-in-law passed away. The elephant was unmoved. Someone said, I lost a very valuable item. Unmoved. Someone said, I'm gone bankrupt. No effect on the elephant. Eventually, a Maulvi came up, a Maulana. He whispered something into the ear of the elephant, and then, amazingly, people saw the elephant's eyes welling up with tears. Tears began streaming out. So he won the prize, but people were curious. They went up to the Mauli Sahab. The Hazrat, what did you say to the elephant to make the elephant cry? Perhaps you told him about Adab-e-Qabar, punishment in the Qabar, or you told him about Pul-Sirat, or you told him about Jannat and Jahannam. He says, no. So they asked and prayed, tell us, what did you say to the elephant? So he says, all I did, I went up to his ear, and I said to him, that listen, I am a Maulana, I teach in a certain madrasa, and this is my salary. When I mentioned the salary, that made the elephant burst out in tears. Because that's what we pay our Maulanas, unfortunately. So nevertheless, Hazrat Hakim Sahab mentioned this little amusing incident. Hazrat Maulana Barul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh had so much love for the Quran and Hadith, and was such a person of his word, honesty. We ought to learn from him, learn from these people. If he had to stand up in the masjid and tell the people that my talk won't be very long, it will be only 15 minutes, then he used to take out his watch. In the old days, he used to get those Zobo watches in a pocket. He used to take it out and monitor the watch. Exactly 15 minutes, he would terminate the talk. If there was something important left to say, after 15 minutes, he would ask the people for permission. That, listen, I have one more important thing to say. It will take another 3 minutes. If you allow me, I will speak for another 3 minutes. And people would say gladly. Then Hazrat would speak. Because Hazrat always had this in mind, that people have their own needs and necessities. They need to go home, they may have some other engrossments. If you tell them the talk will be half an hour, and then you pull for 1 hour, that is also dishonesty. So Hazrat used to be very particular about this. And also because dini talks involve the Quran and Hadith, he used to become very annoyed that in a dini bayan, as people sometimes tend to doze off, they catch fish, some begin to saw wood also while sitting in the bayan. So he used to be very particular that the Quran and Hadith, and you fall asleep, he used to tell the people that you sit glued to the box, to the television, for hours on end, transfixed. You don't fall asleep there. And here you fall asleep. In fact, Hazrat used to refer to the TV as TB, not TV. The TB, it is like an epidemic, like a scourge, like a disease, like a plague. Everyone wants to own a TV and waste hours on end glued to that TV box. He also used to refer to the TV, ki ye saam ki peti hai. This is the box of snakes. That is how poisonous it is for our deen and our deeni progress. We should make a firm resolution. If we have it in our homes, get rid of this corrupting. That is corrupting the minds of the elders, of the children, of the people in the household. The Quran tells us, اِجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَ. Make your homes a qibla. That is a place of ibadat. Initially the addresses of this ayat were the Banu Israel. But it refers to every nation till the day of Qiyamah. Make your homes a qibla means, make your home a place of worship, where there is a dini environment, conducive for dini progress. Not a place where the children are glued to the TV set, day in, day out. Not a place where they're reading trashy novels. Not a place where they're surfing the internet, looking at unsavory sites. Make your home a place of ibadat. Like in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, most of us have respect. The TV is switched off, they will put a parda over the TV and encourage the children to recite the Quran. This should not only be restricted to the month of Ramadan, Even after the month of Ramadan, we should make a point, fix an amount of the Quran to recite. Even after the month of Ramadan, daily recitation, daily routine. This is the haq and the right of the Quran. In fact, as Al-Imam al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi, many times when he would give a bayan, he would tell some of the students of the madrasa in Hardoi that were there also for the bayan, little children. He used to hand each of them a glass of water and walk among the audience. If anyone is dozing off, sprinkle some water on their face to make them wake up so that they can listen attentively to talks of deen. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi used to say that awwalul ilm al-istima', that the first rung of the ladder of knowledge, the first step towards earning deen in knowledge is to listen attentively. If a person doesn't listen attentively, he's going to misquote the speaker and attribute things towards him which he did not say. Like one foolish person began to publicize that a certain Maulana in his bayan said, listen to music, listen to music. He's given us a license. Someone said to him, don't speak nonsense. He did not say this. And that person happened to tape the bayan. He said, let's play the bayan. When they played the bayan, then they heard the actual sentence was, don't listen to music. At that time when the Maulana said, don't, this man dozed off. So he missed the word don't, and he left the remaining sentence, listen to music. So this is a result of not paying attention. When a person doesn't pay attention, sometimes he can even fail an interview. He can lose a job also. Incident took place in India for a very lucrative position. Long queue, people lining up for the interview. One by one, the interviewer is calling them into the room. So the first man in the queue was a Muslim. The interviewer was a Hindu. He called the Muslim in and he tested his general knowledge and history about India. He asked him the first question. They tell me, when did India gain independence? So he replied correctly. He says efforts started long before, but it finally reached fruition in the year 1948. That is when India gained independence. So he was very happy. The man knows his graph. So then he posed a second question. They tell me, who were the people responsible for this? Who were the people instrumental towards this achievement? So he, being a Muslim, he knew that many of our ulama of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat were instrumental in securing freedom from the oppressive British regime in India. They even fought on the battlefields against the British forces. People like Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib, Nanuti Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Mazhar Sahib, Nanuti Rahmatullahi, Hafiz Zamin Sahib. The Battle of Shamli is very famous. That was fought against the British. So this Muslim young man thought to himself that if I say that the Muslims were instrumental towards achieving this goal, he might feel I am biased because I am a Muslim. Some Hindus were also assisting in the struggle, people like Gandhi, Nehru, whatever the case may be. So he answered very cleverly. He said that I cannot pinpoint any single individual who was responsible for this. Many people's efforts were involved. He was happy with the answer. Then he asked him the third question, that what is the way forward for India? So he said the debate is still raging, discussion is taking place about the way forward, progress for India. The interviewer was very happy, sent him out. But he said to him, that listen, the next person in the queue, send him in, but don't tell him the question that they ask you. You're allowed to tell him the answers, but not the questions. So he went to the next man in the queue. He didn't tell him the questions, but he told him the answers 1948. The second answer, that many people were responsible, instrumental. The third one, discussion is still taking place, debate is still raging. So look at the harm of not listening attentively. When this young man walked in the second person, the interviewer, he while he's walking is rattling off like parrot fashion, all those answers, like a machine. When he came in, the interviewer changed all the questions. He didn't ask the same questions. The first question he posed, he asked him, when were you born? He's a young man. So he says, effort started long ago, but it reached fruition in 1948. So he was quite surprised. This man looked so young. He couldn't have been born in 1948, but nevertheless, today many old people also, through chemicals, medicines, they look young. Then he asked him a second question. They tell me who was responsible for this. So he said, I cannot pinpoint any individual. Many people's efforts were involved in this. So now the interviewer tells him, tell me, are you mad or am I mad? He said, the debate is still carrying on. The discussion is still raging. So obviously, he could not secure the job. He lost the interview. So that's why the importance of listening attentively. So this Quran Kareem, Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi has so much love for the Quran. He is a man that came to our country and propagated very emphatically these tasbihs that we use to read our wazaif, that they should not be left lying on the floor. He made sure that in the masajid either hooks are put onto the wall, let the tasbih beads hang on the hook, or put a little cup, leave it in there. Respect for even this tasbih that we recite the name of Allah. It was through his efforts that many masajid here too, you see, he encouraged that we should cover the Quran and Kareem, that we should not only look after the pages of the Quran, but even the cover of the Quran. If we cover it with a cover, it will be looked after, it will last longer, it will not become soiled. He used to say, even your Qurans at home, cover them with fabric, with leather, whatever the case may be. At the same time, he also used to say that because these fabric covers also can become soiled and grimy, so now and again, remove it from the Quran, have it washed, cleaned, and recover the Quran Kareem with it. And he used to say, when you take off this cover to wash, because it has been sitting in the company of the Quran, attached to the Quran, don't treat it like your other laundry. Wash it in such a way that the water that drips from this Quran cover, it must fall into a utensil. Gather it in a utensil, and then don't dump that water in your gutter, into your drain. Go to your garden in one corner, where you know people do not walk there, they will not trample upon that water. Dispose of that water in one secluded corner of your garden. So much love for the Quran. He could not tolerate even disrespect for the water that drips from the fabric cover of the Quran when washing the cover. This was the love this man had for the Quran Kareem. May Allah Ta'ala create within us even a fraction of that love. These people had true love for the Quran. Hazrat Maulana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi, who taught in Dioban, taught in Dabel, later migrated to Medina Munawara, he is buried in Jannatul Baqi, a great wali of Allah. The system in Jannatul Baqi is such that after every certain amount of years, in order to save space, the authorities, they will dig up an old qabr and see if the body has decomposed, disintegrated into the soil. They will bury a freshly deceased person in the same qabr. But sometimes when they dig up the qabr, they find the body intact. So then they leave it undisturbed. So this happened with Maulana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi. After some years, when they opened up his qabr, they found the body totally intact. He had passed away years ago, but it seemed as if he just passed away this morning. So fresh his body. So they recovered the qabr. After a few more years, they again uncovered the qabr, still intact. After a few more years, still intact. So then they place a white stone to indicate as a sign that this qabr must no longer be disturbed. Someone asked his son, Hazrat Maulana Aftab-e Alam Rahmatullahi, they tell us, what deed did your father do that Allah Ta'ala granted him this status, that his body is not being eaten up, it's intact in the qabr? So he thought for a little while And then he said that I think perhaps the reason for this is that the amount of love that my father had for the Quran Kareem. Not only reciting the Quran with love and devotion, but at the same time, he says, I noticed my father that sometimes he would be lying down on the bed with his legs outstretched, and a child walking past at the foot of the bed who is a hafiz of the Quran. So because he contains the Quran in his bosom, immediately Hazrat Maulana used to pull his legs in. That I cannot point my feet in the direction of a child who carries the Quran in his bosom. He regarded this also as a sign of disrespect. This is the amount of love these people had for the Quran. And we handle Quran like a novel. We hold it like we want to. Instead of holding it respectfully against the chest, you put it down where you want to, in a disrespectful place. This is something very, very inappropriate. May Allah forgive us and guide us. So tonight we will see this miracle taking place, a true miracle, a mu'jiza of the Quran. That these children, they managed to memorize the Quran verbatim, word for word, from cover to cover. Whereas Arabic is a language foreign, alien to them. Today if someone has to ask us that here is an A3 foolscap sheet of text written in German, written in Chinese, Mandarin, written in Russian, it's a foreign language. We'll sit for hours, but we'll not be able to memorize the text word for word. If it is English text, because we understand what we're reading, it will be easier to memorize. So Arabic being a language foreign, alien to these children, yet they are able to memorize more than 6,000 verses of the Quran, 30 juz of the Quran, word for word. This indeed is truly a miracle of the Quran. And also a miracle, as I mentioned in the Quranic verse, if the Quran were to be revealed on a mountain, the mountain would break into smithereens, into pieces. Yet the Quran is absorbed by the hearts of these little children, and they do not disintegrate. So this also is a miracle, as if Allah Ta'ala has put a sort of an invisible arrestor of the spiritual nature of the Quran, the force of the Quran. Like you see homes that are built with thatch roofs, so that lightning does not strike and cause a fire. You have these long lightning arrestors that are put there to arrest the charge of the lightning. So similarly, it looks like there's a spiritual rod that Allah Ta'ala puts in the hearts of these kuffars, that they are able to absorb the energy of the Quran. This too is a miracle. This is that Quran with regard to which on one occasion Nabi Karim Sawazam said to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in that inna lillahi ta'ala ahlina fin nas, that Allah Ta'ala has a family amongst mankind. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were naturally very much worried about the statement, curious to know what Nabi Sawazam meant. Because the Quran says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah Ta'ala did not beget, nor was He begotten. He has no children. So what family could He have? مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. Allah has no spouse, no children. So what family could Allah Ta'ala have? So the Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, تَتْقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ هُمْ, that who is this family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, I am referring to a spiritual family, whom Ahlul Qur'an, Ahlullahi wa khasatu. That these are the people of the Qur'an, those who learn and teach the Qur'an, those who are engaged in a khidmat and a service of the Qur'an. This is the spiritual family of Allah. These are the specially chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that enjoy affinity, proximity, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of the Quran. In the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ اِقْرَى وَرْتَقِي وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. Or كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, On the day of Qiyamah, that Hafiz al-Quran will be told, when he's entered into Jannah by the grace of Allah, he will be told that now recite the Quran in Jannah also, and recite in the same correct manner with tajweed that he is to recite in the world, in the dunya. And your stage will be determined by the last verse that you are able to recite. The Quran is more than 6,000 verses. So imagine 6,000 elevated stages in Jannah. And the stages of Jannah are not like the stories of a building here from one floor to the second floor. From one stage to the next stage, the next stage will appear like a star shining in the sky. Hundreds of years of journey away. So 6,000 and more stages that Hafiz will enjoy in Jannah. Alhamdulillah. A Hafiz is so fortunate that because he has memorized the Quran while walking to and fro, while driving his motor vehicle, he can be engaged in the recitation of the Quran at all times. A hadith tells us that man arada yuhaddisa rabbahu falyaqra' al-Quran. Or kama qala al-Islam. The person who wishes to engage in conversation with his Rabb, he should recite the Quran. So the Hafiz, whenever his lips are moving with the Quran, he is communicating with his Creator. Hazrat Maulana Abul Haq Sahib rahmatullah used to always tell us that before you open the Quran to recite, first bring to mind, make a mindset that you are not reading an ordinary novel, ordinary book. This is the word of Allah. And then picture as if Allah is commanding you that, oh my servant, you read my words to me. I wish to listen to you. So you're listening, you're reading for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to gain praises from the public, not for name and fame. Read for the pleasure of Allah. And then you will see the beauty of that recitation. These people is to be engaged in recitation at all times. Many journeys I undertook as a Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi in India. And in the motor vehicle we used to notice, as a Mufti Sahib's lips are moving all the time in a recitation. That is why many people say, as a Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi used to complete one khatam of the Quran daily. And I can vouch for that because there were times when in the motor vehicle, Hazrat would encourage us also to read. So to ensure that we are also engaged in dhikr or in tilawat, sometimes Hazrat, he knew his Quran very, very well. But sometimes, purposely, he would make as if he stumbled, and then he would call out to me at the back, Saeed, iske baad kya hai? What comes after this ayat? So to test us also. So sometimes he's to say, what comes after this verse in the 23rd para? What is after this in the 25th para? So it indicates Hazrat was busy reciting all the time. These people had the love for the Quran. And the normal tendency of many people today, unfortunately, they start saying that what is the benefit in these children memorizing the Quran parrot fashion when they cannot even understand the Quran. This is a very dangerous statement to make. Yes, it is important to know the meaning of the Quran also, to practice on the Quran, but to say, Allah forbid, that memorizing the Quran parrot fashion is a waste of time, this is a very dangerous statement. Because the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that man qara harfan min al-Quran falahu bihi hasana wal hasanatu bi asharati amsalha la aqulu alif lam mim harfun walakin alifun harfun wa lamun harfun wa mimun harfun aw kama qala al-Sa'd. And the person who recites a single word of the Quran, For each word he gets a minimum of 10 rewards. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I do not say whoever recites a letter of the Quran, he gets 10 rewards for each letter. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter. In fact, it is three letters, three separate letters. Alif, a separate letter, minimum 10 rewards for that. Lam, a separate letter. Mim, a separate letter. 30 rewards already secured in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, because his names are in the Quran, enemies of Allah, enemies of the prophets, you recite the word shaitan in the Quran, there too you're getting a reward for it. because it has become part of the Quran. The word Fir'aun, you recite, you get reward for that. 5 letters there. So 50 rewards already. And that is a minimum reward. Once Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi had a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dream. That he is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asks Allah ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, kayfa ataqarrabu ilayk? O my Rabb, how can I gain closeness to you? So Allah ta'ala replied to him in a dream, bi tilawati kitabi, by reciting my book. So he asked in a dream, bi fahmin aw bi ghayri fahmin? Can I come close to you by reciting the Quran with understanding or without understanding? So he got the reply, bi fahmin wa bi ghayri fahmin. Whether you understand or you do not understand, in both ways you will come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these huffaz, such great virtues for them, for the asatida, for their parents. The hadith tells us, the famous hadith, man qara'a al-Qur'an wa 'amila bima fihi ulbisa walidahu tajan yawm al-qiyamah dhaw'uhu ahsanu min dhaw'i ash-shamsi fi buyutikum law kanat fikum fi buyuti ad-dunya law kanat fikum fama dhannukum billadhi 'amila bihi aw kama qala al-sa'atu sallam. That he who recites the Quran diligently, preferably memorizes it, and then he puts the Quran into practice. This is very, very important. Today, many parents want to see their children becoming huffaz, but they do not see it to their spiritual upbringing, their tarbiyat, they're following the line of Sharia. What the result? That we get many queries in a Darul Ifta, that a young boy completed hifz, he recites Quran beautifully. Can we put him up for Tarawih? We have to give the command, hukam of Sharia. That totally impermissible. Makruh tahrimi. Close to haram. A clean shaven boy, you cannot make him an imam. You make him the people's namaz also makruh. That is a ruling. So today we should monitor these children. You're making them hafiz. Monitor their activities as well. Where do they go to at night? What places do they frequent? How is their behavior? How is their appearance? Very, very important. So the hadith says, "Man qara al-Quran wa amila bima fi," and they practice upon the Quran. Then the parents will be accorded this privilege that on a day of Qiyamah, that child's parents will be given a crown to wear, a crown that will be brighter than the light of the sun, and not the sun 93 million miles away. Nabi Sa'asim says, if that sun were to come into your homes, we can well imagine how much radiance there would be. This crown will be glittering even more than that. People will envy these parents on the day of Qiyamah. That who are these people that are given such honor? This crown's placed on their heads. Perhaps this was a king or queen of a certain country. Perhaps a prince or princess. Perhaps a certain affluent family, but no, it will be said to them that these were your ordinary corner cafe people that ran a cafe on the corner, that had a little business, your day-to-day normal layman, but because they made an effort on the child and the child became a hafiz with the fadl and the grace of Allah, now the parents are being given this honor. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, من قرأ القرآن فاستظهره فأحل حلاله وحرم حرامه أدخله الله الجنة وشفعه في عشرة من أهل بيتي كلهم قد وجبت له النار أو كما قال رسول الله. The person who memorizes the Quran and he regards the halal as halal and haram as haram. In other words, he practices the Quran. He is a living embodiment of the Quran. He is a personification of the teaching of the Quran. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah will through His grace enter him into Jannah, and not only that, He will intercede on behalf of 10 such family members that due to their rotten amal, they will deserve to go into Jahannam. But with His intercession, Allah will forgive them and send these 10 family members also into Jannah. Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami rahmatullahi a narrator of a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, where that hadith is mentioned, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَحَلَّمَهُ, the best of you is he who learns the Qur'an and teaches it to others. So this Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami rahmatullahi was engaged in teaching people other books of deen, but he says, when the reality of this hadith hit me, he says, ذَلِكَ الَّذِي أَقْعَدَنِي مَقْعَدِي هَذَا, that this hadith that put me in this place to sit down and impart ilm and knowledge of the Qur'an. That he began to teach only the Qur'an. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the best of you is he who learns the Qur'an and teaches it to others. And as we heard, Maulana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi, by virtue of his love for the Qur'an, Allah kept his body intact. This is something mentioned in one hadith also. That إِذَا مَاتَ صَاحِبُ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ أَلَّا تَأْكُلِي لَحْمَهُ فَقَالَتِ الْأَرْضُ يَا رَبَّ كَيْفَ أَكُلُ لَحْمَهُ وَكَلَامُكَ فِي جَوْفِهِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That when a hafiz of the Qur'an, a person who did service to the Qur'an, lived the Qur'an, recited the Qur'an, fulfilled the rights of the Qur'an, the day such a hafiz dies, Allah Ta'ala sends a message to the ground, to the soil, where he is buried, that do not consume his body. Do not eat up his flesh. The ground replies that, O Rabb, O my Lord, how can I have the courage to eat up his flesh when your kalam is in his bosom? Your Quran is in his heart. Once Nabi Sallam said to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Abu Huraira, تعلم القرآن وعلمه الناس ولا تزال كذلك حتى يأتيك الموت فإن أتاك الموت وأنت كذلك زارت الملائكة قبرك كما زارت البيت العتيق أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى recite the Quran, learn the Quran and teach it to others and continue to do so. Continue to be engaged in the service of the Qur'an until your dying breath. Allah Ta'ala bless the ustaz in charge of the hifz under this Jamia Madrasa Trust, Qari Abdul Aziz Patel Sahib, Dam Barakatuhum. While we were students in Dabel, he had become an ustaz there. So he's like in place of my ustaz. We were doing kitabs, he took on the post of a teacher in a hifz class. And alhamdulillah, his class used to produce the best results. Qari Ahmadullah Sahib, Daun Barakatuhum, my ustaz, used to form personally, take the imtihan. His class used to produce the best results. We do not value this man yet. He's teaching hifz for the last 40 or 50 years, not for 5 or 10 years. And this hufaz being produced. So Nabi Sallam advised that learn the Quran and teach the Quran. And teach the Quran till your dying breath. Allah Ta'ala fill the qabr of our Qari Ismail Sahib, rahmatullah, with nur. Allah blessed him also with this gift. He taught up to his dying breath. He taught tajweed, Quran, qiraat. The night that he passed away also, he taught students before he passed away. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, continue to teach until your dying breath. If you will remain persistent with the service of the Quran, and then you pass away, the malaika will come and visit your qabr like they visit the Kaabatullah. In other words, countless upon countless of farishtas will come and pay respects at the side of your qabr. Such is the beauty of the Quran Kareem. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of appreciating this word of Allah. Give us a tawfiq of fulfilling its rights. Not only in the month of Ramadan, throughout the year, we should fix a routine, a certain amount to recite every day, daily, that we don't go to sleep until we recite that portion of the Quran that we allocate for ourselves. Allah give us the tawfiq. Allah give us the ability to recite the Quran, to practice upon the Quran, and to live the Quran, to live according to the teachings of the Quran. May Allah Ta'ala create that love and passion for the Quran in our hearts too, like He created in the hearts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in and our other pious predecessors. Inshallah, the young boy will come up now, Khalil Pandor, to complete the hifz. He has his two stars also present here. Qari Abdulaziz Sabdan Barakatum and Maulana Zaid Gangad Hafizahullah. These are his two stars. Initially he commenced his year by his stars Qari Abdulaziz Sab, but he took ill. He did up to 10 paras, could not continue. Then afterwards he continued with Maulana Zaid Gangad. And now this morning the final surahs he completed once again by Qari Abdulaziz Sab. So the commencement and the ending was by Qari Abdulaziz Sab. Allah Ta'ala bless all of them, accept their services, their khidmat, the khidmat of the ustads, the khidmat of this jamaat, the committee that has made it possible to arrange this facility of reciting and having this facility for Hifz al-Quran, inshallah.